I am Chris Williams. I am the Director of Communication and Operations in the Davis School District. I've been with the school district now for 18 years. And during that whole time, I've wanted to have a series in which I could sit down with individual teachers and ask them, what is it like to be a teacher? Talk to me a little bit about the craft of teaching. This series is entitled, I Teach. We hope as you listen to this and as you view this, that you'll come away with the same feeling that I always come away with after visiting with our teachers. How incredible they are and how lucky we are to have them work in our classrooms.
Hi, I'm Wendy Pitt. I teach third grade at Case Creek Elementary.
Okay, so Wendy, you told us a lot of history about how you got into teaching. So talk to me a little bit about this. This was not your life plan.
No, I was not going to be a teacher. I studied international relations at Brigham Young University. And upon graduation, I moved to Washington, D.C. And I worked for the United States Senate. I had the opportunity to work for Senator Pete Wilson, who was the senator from California. Wonderful man. When I gave birth to my first child, I had to tell him that I couldn't come back to work. And he said to me, Wendy, if more women had the courage to stay home with their children, then we wouldn't have the problems that we have in the world today. We wouldn't have the illiteracy, we wouldn't have the violence, and I fully support you. He was a great, great senator. He then went on to become governor of California, and I highly respect Pete Wilson. Ultimately, I wanted to be an international attorney, but life changed, and I found my husband and moved back to Utah and raised our family.
So how did you get into teaching?
Well, I was really involved in my children's school. They went to Oak Hills Elementary in Bountiful, and they needed an SEM teacher at the school. So I did that for 6 years, loved it. It was so much fun. And there was an opening for a sixth grade teacher just a couple weeks before school started. And my principal called and asked me if I would like to participate in the alternative route to licensure program and become a teacher. And I did.
So with that, tell me, how long have you been teaching and kind of how that pathway has gone?
So after I started teaching, I have been a teacher for now 14 years. I taught sixth grade for 11 years. 10 of those years I was at Oak Hills, and then I moved out to Case Creek when that school opened up, and I've taught there for the last, this is my fourth year there.
So you taught the upper grades?
Upper grades for 11 years, and then just as staffs shift, they needed someone to move to fourth grade. I did that for a year, had a great time. I loved learning all about Utah. I'm not a Utah native, so I was learning right along with the students. And then last year, last summer, they needed, they had a bubble of kids, so they needed a third grade teacher, and I said I would be willing to do it, and I love it. I didn't think I would.
How is it different? Just explain the difference between teaching upper grade and the lower grades. What changes have you seen?
Well, the students obviously are more mature in sixth grade. I've kind of forced my children to rise to the occasion. I expect a lot of them. So I've kind of had to slow down my pacing a little bit to help those little third graders. But the one thing I've noticed is that it doesn't matter the age. If you are enthusiastic and if you love your students, you can get them to do anything and they'll go right along with you. I've gained a greater appreciation for the lower grade teachers because when I was teaching sixth grade, these kids came to me, they were already great readers. They could already do their multiplication, and we could just hit the ground running. And now I'm having to teach some of those more basic skills. So I appreciate those lower grade teachers so much more. And in my opinion, I think everybody should teach a couple different levels of grades. I think it makes you a better teacher, and it makes you appreciate the other teachers.
So when we were in your classroom, we noticed you use lots of data and lots of involvement of the kids kind of tracking themselves and looking at their own progress. So talk a little bit about that and the philosophy behind that.
Years ago, I went to a data conference in Reno, Nevada with some teachers and my principal, and just saw the importance of data and how it can drive your instruction and how important it is for your students to know what's expected, where they are currently, and what they need to do to get there. And my third graders, they know what their Acadence reading level needs to be. They know where they are right now, and they know what they need to do to get there. On a math test, we graph math tests, and they can see, oh, I need to do better than I did on the last one. And I just think it's so important for them to know what's expected, and then they have ownership of their education. And when they have ownership, they have the pride and they have the drive to get where they want to be. I have a poster of John Wayne in my classroom. It's from the movie True Grit, because I tell my students to have true grit with Mrs. Pitt. So I'm trying to teach them to not give up, to have that growth mindset. They may not know how to do it yet, but they'll get there eventually. But they have to have grit, not only in third grade, but in life.
Another thing that we noticed in the classroom is you have these meetings where they actually get to talk about good things and bad things that they've seen in the classroom that week, and just things that they want to talk about. So talk a little bit about the philosophy behind that as well.
Every week we have a class meeting. And during the class meeting, we say the school mission statement and the class mission statement, which the children helped me write at the beginning of the year. And we go over our chart, our data for the week based on whatever tests we've taken. And then we have a chance for the kids to do, we don't call it like good and bad, it's plus and delta. So anything that's great that's happened that week, they can write it down during the week and they put it on the chart. I liked the field trip we went on, or I really liked the learning how to decompose numbers when I'm adding. And then we have delta. We don't want to say that it's bad, it's just it needs to be changed. So maybe if they're sick of sitting with that particular team, maybe it's like, well, I think we need to change seats, Mrs. Pitt, or I don't like the way we lined up for lunch. I don't know. They're just things that they notice that they need to work on as a class. It's not a tattling session, but just a way that we can improve our class. An incentive we use for our students are some little buttons, and that each student gets a lanyard, and when they achieve something, like typing fluency, they get a button. When they have read a certain number of books, they get a button. If they get a really great score on a math test, they'll get a button. And I did it with sixth graders. Who knew that sixth graders would work so hard to earn buttons? And I do it with my third graders, and they love them. They get buttons for all kinds of achievements, and makes them happy. Just yesterday, they were getting a button because they all voted for a class president, because it was election day, and they all got an I voted button, and they were counting their buttons, and just they have great pride in their accomplishments.
How has teaching evolved for you over the years? What changes have you seen in your profession?
Well, there's a lot more expected for a teacher. And so I've had to be more prepared during the summer. it seems like class sizes are always growing, so I have to be more organized. But overall, I would say I just love the kids, and the kids are great. And it seems like every year they're a little bit smarter. So again, I have to step it up. I have to keep my game going so I can keep up with the kids. I love the technology that we get to use with the students. Sometimes it's challenging for those of us that are a little more mature, and sometimes I have to help my students figure out some of the technology, but I think it's helped me stay on top of things. It's helped my mind. I'm more acute mentally because of the technology. But I think I'm preparing students for 21st century learning through all of that.
So you've been in this for 20 years, really, teaching with the SEM.
Mm-hmm.
And your life plan was totally different. Now that you've been doing this for 20 years, do you see yourself doing anything else?
You're going to make me cry. No. I can't imagine my life not being a teacher. I think it has made me a better spouse, a better mom, a better grandma. It's made me a more compassionate person. It's made me a better educated person. And I just can't believe that was never in the plan before. But I'm really glad that it wasn't. I'm glad that I had my pre-teaching life, where I worked for a United States Senator, where I stayed home to raise my children, because I think those experiences have made me a better teacher.
Talk about a time when you just, and this kind of goes in hand with the last question, but a time when you just thought, I can't believe they're paying me to do this, that it was just one of those days where you're like, it can't get better than this.
Wow. There are so many days that I have thought, I can't believe I get paid to do this. I don't know that I could just give you one. There are those days when you just have a student that just, oh, this is silly, just has needed you, or has written you a nice note, that they are paydays. They are so fulfilling. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the lifestyle that teaching has provided for me. When my own children were still at home, we had the same schedule. And I was so grateful that I didn't have to rush them off to school or not be home when they got home. I just think there's just so many great benefits to being a teacher that even though we don't get paid as much as we really truly deserve, I think there are a lot of benefits intrinsically in teaching and helping educate the next generation.
So I know your husband also took a different route.
Yes.
And he teaches as well. So can you talk about kind of how that all happened and what dinner conversations are like now that you're both in this same profession?
It's so awesome. We love it. My husband was in communications and economic development for years. He was also involved in local politics. And a few years ago, he decided he was done with all that. And he saw how happy I was in teaching. You know, he used to come home at night and he'd say, "What'd you do today?" And I would tell him all these wonderful things that I had done. And he'd say, "Well, I, you know, signed up somebody to join the Chamber of Commerce." And he could just see the difference in the impact that we were each having in our community. So our children were raised, and he said, "I want to get my teaching degree." So he has taken his classes. He teaches junior high, and he took a year off, and he substituted everything from kindergarten to seniors, special ed. He did everything. I don't think he did PE, but that's beside the point. Anyway, he fell in love with junior high kids. And most people think that junior high kids are scary. He loves them. So our summers are wonderful. We have a lot of freedom. We call it our practice retirement. We both take classes during the summer, and so we can help each other with our classes. At dinner, we laugh about the funny things that our students have said during the day. We commiserate when things don't go as well as we wanted to with a lesson. I give him suggestions. Have you tried this? He gives me suggestions. We brainstorm, and it's surprising. What works for a third grader will work for an eighth grader as far as classroom management. We love it. We have a blast together.
How would you say you approach teaching different from someone else?
Well, I think every teacher approaches it differently. That's the great thing about teaching is you have what you need to teach, but you have autonomy in your own classroom. So I approach it with enthusiasm, zest. I love my students. I consider them my children. In fact, my own children, sometimes at dinner on Sunday, I'll say, oh, my kids, or my children, and they'll say, Mom, we're your kids. Like, oh yeah, but my kids at school, because they really do feel invested in them. I use a lot of interactive things. I like my students to discuss with each other. It's not just sit and do a worksheet. I try to have lots of peer partner things. I guess the best word to describe my teaching philosophy is enthusiastic and a love of learning. If I love it, my students know I'm happy, then they're going to love learning. And that will set them on a course for lifelong learning. That's what I want.